It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yes, we are not afraid. I am a little bit sometimes doing radio like this. This just isn't my thing, but it's fun. We're having fun today. It's Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Ernest is enjoying his Thursday morning at his cabana there, and I still probably have on the line Catherine Blyce. Do I still got you there, Kat? No, no Catherine Blyce. So, like I said, this is the...
I'm still here. I'm sorry. I've got Mike Maresco here who I think is coming on next. Let me go ahead and hand off.
Well, just tell us in a short statement, what is your spiel at the soapbox deal where everyone gets to give their spiel? What do they call it, the soapbox?
Oh, for Soapbox Idol? I'm not sure what I'm going to give a spiel on yet. Last year, mine was about looking for leadership within yourself instead of idol worshiping, and... it went over okay. I took second place. My goal is to take the championship this year, but unfortunately, with John Bush as my competition, there may not be any chance.
Uh-oh. Well, what's his? I didn't get to ask him. What is his? Do you know what his?
Well, you know, I don't know exactly what he's going to speak on, but he is so darn good, and he can freestyle really well. And there was actually supposed to be a freestyle competition this week, but some of the contenders are not here. So I have a sneaking suspicion he's going to freestyle during his Soapbox Idol thing. And if he does that, then everyone else is just done.
I've heard John do a freestyle in my car. And yeah, I think you might be right. He might be a top contender. But
he's pretty good. We'll have to get the video up on YouTube.
Very cool. Send it our way. Just last, I think you're going to pitch here, but... we're all jealous that we didn't get to go to Pork Fest, so there's a thing coming on out in Salt Lake City next month, and we're going to have our own little road trip here on the West Coast. So if anyone's on the West Coast and you're jealous, we'll put some more information about the Axiom Conference coming up in Salt Lake City. And I'm inviting you, Catherine, and everybody out there. You know, the next road trip is ready for all of us West Coast kids. But anyway.
Well, awesome. I don't think I have a road trip planned for July yet, so send me info. We can get to Salt Lake.
I'll send you. And it's like the last weekend, so you got more time to lead. But if there's anything else you want to leave us with, go ahead, Catherine.
No, just thank you guys out there with Freedom Phoenix for rocking so hard. You really set a great example for people everywhere. I'm proud of you guys. You're an amazing community. And hopefully next year we can get y'all out here. For me, just seeing the New Hampshire, Missouri, and Texas activists all together just really warms my heart. And to get some more Phoenix folks out would be absolutely fantastic. Keep it up. I love you guys.
Hey, thanks, Catherine. I'd love to, because like I said, 111 degrees, not looking forward to it today.
Oh, yeah. Come cool off in New Hampshire. All right, I'm handing you over to Mike.
All right, thank you, Catherine. And I believe we're going to Michael Maresco, known as the Liberty Rider. Go ahead if you're there, Michael.
Good morning.
Good
afternoon.
It's morning for us still, but what's happening, man? When did you get to Pork Fest?
I got here last night. We took... We took the long route. We went through. I came from New Mexico. Renee McMasters came up and picked me up, and we went. We went and did some events with some candidates on the way, and hung a couple banners on the way.
Oh, sounds like the revolution continues with Michael Maresco. We got to go to break, brother, but we'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll get the rest of that story. Your road trip to Pork Fest. Sounds like a lot of great people are out there. I can hear Ernie in the background. They're having a good time at his place, wherever his campground is. So we'll get back to the action as soon as we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yes, we are live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix. I am not Ernest Hancock, but I am here to declare my independence, and one other independence-declaring kind of guy is on the line, Michael Maresco. Michael, do I got you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, man. Well, we cut you off there at the break. Why don't you tell me, you were hanging some banners for some candidates. What kind of candidates were you supporting on your way up to New Hampshire?
I've been looking to promote more down-ticket races. So there were three state-level that we stopped in and stopped at a fundraiser for one, and just stopped and did some consulting with another. But I'm a lot more, you know, the congressional races and the Senate races are all fun and dandy. They're good to run, but I like running with lower levels so we can address ballot access laws, so we can address redistricting. There's a lot of things that need to be done on the local level that will affect the national scene. So I'm hoping to get more people interested in running in the down ticket races. And it spreads the tyrant thin. You know, the people that are against us, they can print as much money as they want, but they can't print enough people to go and use that money. So if we're running hundreds of races all over the nation, they just can't keep up with us, and it spreads them thin. And when they're spread thin, they make mistakes. They miss out on there's races that go under the radar. We put a lot of people into. People are getting into office. They're winning their primaries, and they're getting into position. We've taken over the Santa Fe GOP. Is the entire executive committee is now all Ron Paul's people. There's other counties all over. Yeah, the St. Louis City Council is pretty much moving Ron Paul. So it's the people working on the local level under the radar that I'm really trying to help promote.
So we can outnumber them is what you're saying, and I'd agree with that. The only candidates that I've really jumped into are statewide races. You know, I don't really see why I've jumped behind federal races. I'd agree with you there. There's more of a chance to educate and get active and really move and shake there at the local level. So that sounds like a lot of fun and neat that you got to drive and help those candidates out. But why are you at Porkfest, Mike? What are you there to do? What do you want to accomplish? And are you speaking at this? Do you have a speaker slot, or do you have a message you want to deliver this weekend?
Not really. I am really on R&R. I just spent a year working on the Kokesh campaign in New Mexico, and that was brutal. It was the fourth biggest congressional district in the nation. So it was a congressional district bigger than the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And we had to fight the establishment on both sides. If anybody listening knows Adam Kokesh, he's been quite an outspoken man for freedom and liberty. And of course that angers people and they're afraid of him. So we had a real battle on our hands. So for the last year, I've kind of disengaged, and I was just simply focused on that race. And after we lost the primary, you know, a couple days just to equalize, and then I'm thinking, and everybody was saying, "You're going to be at Porkfest. You're going to be at Porkfest." And then one day it was like, you know, I think I'm going to go to Porkfest. And really, I didn't plan anything. Renee just came up and picked me up, and so I'm just going to play it by ear and talk to my friends here. Lots of people. I came up for Operation Live Free or Die back in the Ron Paul campaign. I came up for Liberty Forum one year. So I have lots of friends here. I signed up on the Free State Project, but I don't know that I will move until we're a lot further along in the entire revolution.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. I've been, you know, interested in the Free State Project for a few years now, and I don't know if I could handle the cold, but I was telling everybody else, if you didn't hear, it's going to be 111 today here in Phoenix. So I am jealous. Everyone else is jealous. I think a lot of us would have loved to gone out to Porkfest, but just couldn't make it for one reason or another. I asked John earlier to paint a picture. What is the scenery? Can you paint a picture for us? What are you looking at? Is it, I mean, mountains and trees? What do you got, man?
Yeah, mountains, trees, and farmlands. I see a Christmas tree farm up in the distance. It's hills, so it's farmed hills, you know, cut fields into on the hillsides. Behind that, there's pretty high mountains. There's clouds up on top. It's a little rainy today. We've got chance, you know, thunderstorms rolling through. So everybody's a little wet and walking around. That look, you know, that camping in the rain kind of look.
Very cool.
But, it's supposed to be sunny tomorrow, and everybody's already set up for it. I mean, people were prepared. You know, libertarians are generally know how to take care of each other, or know how to take care of themselves first. So it's all good.
So since you're on R&R, what type of activities do you want to do? I hear there's shooting and canoeing and all kinds of stuff. Do you have anything planned? Or you said you're playing it by ear, but any of the fun stuff that you know you want to do?
I think I will do the shooting because when I manned a booth for Oath Keepers at CPAC, and I was standing there, and the Blackwater guys came up and threw me a T-shirt and a hat and said, "You guys are great. Here, you want one of these?" So I kind of bit my tongue and saved the shirt and hat. And the hat got chewed up by a dog, and it's got nice character now. And I think we'll use the shirt as target practice.
Ooh, hey, send a message, man. That's if
exactly. Symbolism. It's all about symbolism.
Because if you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. Well, come on, man. What? Anything else you want to share with us, or something that along with the road trip? If you miss something there, you've got the floor, brother.
Well, really happy to have Phoenix out here. Really happy. You know, like Catherine was saying, it's really good to see people from all over the nation coming in here to support New Hampshire's the Free State Project, to get to know what it's about. And we got a couple movers here. Kelly Owens drove up behind me, and she picked up a guy, Wes, who was a mover here. So there's a new state Free State Project, and Michelle Seven moved up, and Chris and Corey, who filmed For Liberty, are around, and they're doing a little documentary of what's going on here. So it's going to be quite exciting. It's always good to get together with the people the 2%ers that get the work done. And to energize each other and to share ideas. So I'm really stoked about it. I'm probably going to be going down to North Carolina after this and help Glenn Bradley, who's running for state senate. State representative, actually. And then getting ready for another bike ride. Next spring, next summer, I will be doing my third and possibly final major bike ride.
Is this the one where you're going to go from the U.S. to Europe? Is that the third one coming
No,
up?
No, that would be paddling. That wouldn't be pedaling. That would be paddling.
Canoeing. Go ahead.
I've done the Southern Tier, which was the Santa Monica Pier to the Jefferson Memorial. I've done the Middle Tier, which was the Statue of Liberty to Alcatraz, Freedom to Fascism. And I'm going to do the Northern Tier, which will probably someplace in the Pacific Northwest, either Seattle or Portland, probably Portland, to Boston. That'll be the final ride. And hopefully Ron Paul will be chose to run, and it will be a Ron Paul ride primarily.
Ooh, otherwise, man. That's a big ticket right there. You get the man to agree to do the 2010 run, and I'm sure that inspired you to get back on the bicycle, man. That sounds like a heck of a plan. And the northern route be a little cooler up there.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. The last trip, I just misplanned it. I had no idea that I was going to be in the middle of Death Valley in the middle of summer. So I'll be more careful.
You had no idea you'd be in Death Valley in the middle of the summer. I mean, did you forget where Death Valley was? I'm teasing you, man.
I didn't put two and two together, you know. There's a small frame when you can actually leave and get it done. So there's wind issues. There's a bunch of different issues. So, and I kind of had to go when I was going because it was due to the MIAC report and those DHS reports. So there was other factors. I mean, I knew I was going to be out in the desert in the summer, kind of, but I didn't really quite realize it was going to be 160 degrees on the side of the road.
Well, you hit Arizona just fine because you hit I-40, which is the northern stretch of Arizona. That wasn't too bad, was it? Because at that time, even though it was summer, the northern part of Arizona isn't so bad. It was just when you got to Death Valley that really killed you, wasn't it?
Well, it was pretty bad out there when Ed was with me. Ed and Tom were there with me and when we came up to Hoover Dam. That was a hot day. That road out there, that turns into just lava out there. That's blasted earth out there. And that was a pretty warm day. I think it was probably up to about 140 or so. So Joan Lewis recorded the temperature, and I think she got 120 in the shade.
Yeah, so, that's at least you can have fried eggs for breakfast on your trip like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, cool, man. Anything else you want to tell us about Porkfest? Or you, like you said, you're just doing the R&R thing, but what's everybody else? Is everybody getting excited Thursday morning? Things are really starting to go. When's Badnarik coming on?
Badnarik's already doing his Constitution class. Renee McMasters is in there attending the class. Stefan Leno will be doing the opening ceremony tonight. We have Karen Lupo will be having an awards banquet for people who have been arrested for liberty. So he's giving them dog tags with handcuffs on them and then stamped with whatever type of protest they had done.
Sounds like a lot of fun, Mike. We're going to go to break here, and we'll be back with you or maybe someone else. Who knows what we get today on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. I am not Ernest, filling in Drew Phillips, Dead Air.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, or the times they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come
again. I could
again.
Listen to that all day long. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. That is not me. I'm Drew Phillips, and for the time being, we're calling this the Dead Air Program. Once again, Ernie and the crew are in the beautiful state of New Hampshire at the beautiful Pork Fest. We are all so jealous as we melt away in the 110-degree temperatures of Phoenix, but we're having fun. We got some guests from out of town coming through the studio today. We got some busy activism going on, and I'm told that we've got Daryl on the line. Do we have you there, sir?
Yes, you do, Drew.
How you doing, sir? We met briefly once when we were out here at the Freedom Summit, but I don't know too much about you, Daryl. What's going on, and what's your story?
Well, I am the owner of a publishing company, Free Patriot Press. I started the company last summer in order to ensure a free press for the freedom movement. I was inspired by the H.L. Mencken quote that the freedom of the press belongs only to those that own one. And I'm sure you and everybody else, they know the way that the company or the country is going, that alternative and opposing views are being shut out left and right, except for the views supposedly on the false left-right paradigm. You know, the true alternatives are being shut out by the supposed mainstream. So I figured, you know, what better way to make sure that people can put out opposing views than to start my own publishing company. And I've reprinted a couple of classic books, Bastiat's The Law, Thomas Paine's Common Sense, and the newest one just came out is Mark Twain's What is Man? And I've also published one of my own original content books, The Anarcho-Teachings of Yeshua.
Very cool. And what's the response? Are people buying this stuff up? Are they eating it up? Or are you having a hard time marketing? I mean, what's the response?
Well, the online sales are as good as I had hoped, but the sales when I'm actually out places set up and meeting and mingling with people, I'm actually getting decent sales.
Very cool.
Enough to where I have quit my corporate job in order to do this full time.
Declare your independence kind of thing, huh?
I recently got a wonderful business partner that is helping me open a general store, and we are set up in Agora Alley up here at Porkfest with a general store selling books, bumper stickers, T-shirts, and just everyday wares that people might need. Everything that an activist would need for a camping trip. And right now, with the weather being not cooperative, people aren't out as much as I had hoped, but they're telling me the weather will by evening, and the rest of the weekend will be wonderful, and hopefully I'll get to meet and mingle with a whole bunch of freedom lovers.
Very cool. Where are you right now? Are you still in Ernie's little area there?
I am on Ernie's porch at the moment.
Is that where the party is? That where the what time is it? What's the difference? So it's 10:30 out here. What's the time difference?
Or it's roughly 1:30.
1:30. So the afternoon.
We're East Coast time.
Getting started early at the party, you guys. I'm told you're missing Bednarik. What's up with that, guys? You know, but as long as you guys are having fun, and like Maresco said, it's a rest and relaxation weekend at Porkfest. So what are you giving any presentations? Are you doing a soapbox thing, or are you just going to do your general store thing, or what activities are you looking to get into, Daryl?
Well, the plan right now is just to run the general store. I might wind up doing something in Soapbox Idol. I am not sure. A lot of it is up for grabs, try and make some money and relax. I enjoyed a wonderful ride from Springfield, Missouri with Mike Maresco. We got to meet his lovely mother in Poughkeepsie, New York. She's a wonderful woman, and gratefully she put us up for two nights before we came all the way to New Hampshire.
Sounds cool. Seems like that's one of the big benefits of Porkfest is, you know, not just the event itself, but the traveling to and from. It sounds like you guys have found a lot of different activities to get yourself into and trouble to get yourself out of and so on and so forth. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Is it? Michael said you guys took kind of the slow route out. So he picked you up in Springfield. He came from New Mexico. Are you guys going to take the slow route back?
A lot of that is play by ear, depending on how much money we make. We might have money to take a slow route home, or we might have to hurry back and try and find ways to make money back in Missouri.
Well, I guess that's how agorism goes, doesn't it? It only gets you as far as you make enough to go. So that sounds
right.
Like a lot of fun. What else are you getting into this weekend, Daryl? We got some time here.
This weekend, other than just trying to make some money and meet 1,000 of my closest freedom fighting friends, I don't have a lot going on this weekend. But outside of Porkfest and outside of this weekend, I am attempting to get state affiliates for the Boston Tea Party. The Boston Tea Party should not be at all confused with Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck's hijacked groups calling themselves Tea Party.
Referring to the man who wrote the gun Bible, Boston Tea Party. It sounds interesting. Maybe we'll come back and pick up on that. Daryl, we're going to break, and we'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Way before my time, but that's okay. Still a good one. I don't know what we got loaded up here. Jet loaded me some great music. Always a fun time to sit in for Ernest Hancock or Jet Lacey, whoever happens to be doing the show, but I happen to be doing the show today. Ernie's enjoying himself in New Hampshire, and this is the Dead Air Show because I got nothing. But we might have someone on the line. Don't know, but we're going to find out. Anybody there?
Oh. Yes, this is still Daryl.
Hey, Daryl. Yep, there we go. How are we doing? So what else you want to share with us, Daryl?
I'd like to introduce the Boston Tea Party to everybody. The party was founded in 2006 by a libertarian named Thomas Knapp. He is from Missouri, just outside of St. Louis. He was a congressional candidate for the LP in 2008, and he was the Boston Tea Party's first vice presidential nominee in 2008. The Boston Tea Party was founded with a very simple platform that the party supports reducing the size and scope and power of the government on all levels, on all issues, and opposes any increase in the size, scope, or power of the government for any reason. So everyone that is a true libertarian should join the Boston Tea Party. There are no annual dues, no lifetime dues. Membership is completely free. sign up at bostontea.us. I am the new chairman of the party. I've been chairman for roughly 2.5 weeks, so still trying to get into the swing of being chair of the party. But we are going to be endorsing some fine candidates across the country, as ballot access is one of the hardest things for any party to achieve, much less a new party. We found some libertarian candidates in Florida and so far Missouri to endorse. The National Committee is currently deliberating on an endorsement of Sissy Spriggins, who is running for U.S. Senate in Missouri. And we also have a candidate in Florida for governor. John Wayne Smith has received our endorsement, and his lieutenant governor candidate, J.J. McMurray, we are deliberating on an endorsement for him. And I'm hoping to have as many candidates endorsed this year as we did in 2008. And in 2008, we had 29 candidates across the country that were endorsed or on the ballot with the Boston Tea Party.
Sorry, Daryl. I'm trying to do two things at once. But I know a little bit about the Boston Tea Party. I know a little bit about the history. And you know, I'm not an LP guy, and Ernie, he can tell you the whole story, but as a young guy, the LP doesn't really offer me anything. So what is the Boston Tea, I heard you through the rhetoric, but what is the Boston Tea Party going to offer me? Or what's going to compel me to want to be a supporter, a member, et cetera?
Well, do you support reducing the size, scope, and power of the government?
I'm for that. I'll say amen.
Okay, then you should join the Boston Tea Party. For one reason alone, our party platform can never be changed. So there will be no conventions in which people bicker for days on end about replacing a comma with a period and capitalizing a W, because somehow that changes the concept of the Senate completely.
So no lawyers in this party, is that what you're getting at? These people that want to come speak in foreign languages?
There might be a lawyer or two, but that would, as I see it, would be a highly conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Be a lawyer and support reducing the size and scope and power of the government.
I will defend a few of my friends who are lawyers. I do know a few libertarian-leaning small government lawyers.
Yeah,
but
there is a fine lawyer out in Phoenix that I met. Victor.
Yeah, probably thinking of Mark Victor.
Very, very fine man.
We got a few. I can think of a few off the top of my head, but maybe that's an Arizona cultural thing. But I'm just teasing, because those are the guys that want to come in and do it. Those are the guys that want to come into the party and change, like you said, the comma to a period and a little dash here and the meaning of is, and all of a sudden your party isn't the party you thought your party was. But
right.
That
so
sounds.
We are the true party of principle, and after the elephant in the room finally takes over the LP, we will be waiting with open arms for the Ernest Hancocks of the Libertarian Party.
The activists.
And
is
I
that
say that as a lifetime member of the LP. So, yes, this is just some guy that is frustrated with the LP that says, oh, well, here's this other party. I'm a lifetime member of the LP. I would love to see the LP go back to being that party of principle. But the direction that it's going, and, you know, you hear this from Ernie all the time, the direction the LP is going, they're going to the elephant in the room.
Yes. What's that guy's name? Wayne something? War guy? I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
We didn't even need to say his name, Daryl.
War.
Hey.
Huh. What is he good for?
Absolutely nothing. Play
Surely
it again
not
now.
Libertarian.
Yeah, play it again now. I should have had that cut up. But no, that's great, Daryl, because, yeah, learning about, you know, libertarian, I'm new. I'm a student of the libertarian philosophy, just really getting my head wrapped around this thing in the last few years and with the help of Dr. Paul as my guide. But yeah, when I turned away from the Republican Party and some of that stuff, and I went, well, what's the LP up to? And yeah, not much. And when I came to Phoenix, I thought, well, isn't Freedom's Phoenix, the studio here, the workshop here, and Ernie and all the activists, isn't that the LP? And then I found out, no, it's really not. It's just Ernie's thing, the Freedom's Phoenix thing, and whatever anybody down here wants to do thing. So
that's a segment of the LP.
Well, no, I mean, it's not.
That's definitely not what the National is all about. They would much rather become the Libertarian Debate Club.
Absolutely, and that's why young guys are, they don't go to the Chinese restaurant where they have the MCLP meetings, the monthly county meetings. They come here because this is where the fun stuff is. This is where we show movies. This is where we print stuff, and we create activist material. We burn DVDs, and we take it out to the streets, and we go do the libertarian activism. So that's the LA, not the LP. The party can have their little party in their smoking in their smoky back room of the Chinese restaurant, not so smoky since Prop 200. But that's another story. Daryl, what else is you got going, man? What else? What else are you looking forward to this weekend up at Porkfest?
Well, I'm hoping to sell a lot of copies of my newest book, The Anarcho Teachings of Yeshua, which I wrote the book basically to offer an alternative to what most mainstream Christians tend to preach, that, you know, yeah, Jesus is the Messiah and we should love one another, but we should go bomb all those people that don't like us.
That's
we should use the government to force you to have the same morals that I have.
God would want us to meddle in the Middle East, Daryl.
If you actually read the teachings of the Messiah, he is not anywhere teaching meddling and force your views on others. Yes, you're to tell your views to others, but you're not to use governmental force to impose your views on someone else. I have a chapter in the book titled Not Aggression, the Greatest Commandment, to where I put the non-aggression principle of not initiating force and not delegating the initiation of force. I compare that with the greatest commandment to love one another. So if you love one another, you're not going to be initiating force. And I also look at the quote, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and offer an opposing view of that instead of just a view about taxation. I offer a view about central banking in general, to where if Caesar is not at all in charge of or connected to the currency, there is nothing to render unto Caesar.
Absolutely. It is like Christ walking into the temple, man. We're going to throw some tables over, and we're going to tell you that,
yes,
that this oligarchy, this Federal Reserve System, this fractional reserve system, is nothing more than a bunch of money changing, you know. Well, Christ had some words for those guys. That's all I know. The Bible just says he flips some,
yes,
tables. I'm sure
a den of thieves.
A den of thieves, that's correct.
And a brood of vipers.
And I'm sure Christ had some choice words for them as he entered the temple flipping tables. And that's, I mean that metaphor is so perfect for what we're doing today, when you know, a lot of this liberty movement, freedom movement, a lot of the activism has become centered around the Federal Reserve, or at least the education that's come out of Dr. Paul's efforts and many others to exposing the Federal Reserve for what it is, and the focus like a laser beam that the activists have pointed out. You know, a lot of people know now, a lot more than just the fringe know what the Federal Reserve is up to. I was just in my local watering hole the other day, and I just struck up a conversation with a random guy, and I go, what are you guys doing here? And he says, well, I'm trying to have a hard conversation with my friend here about the banking system, about where this country is going. He just doesn't want to listen to me. But I just thought it was interesting that I happened to be at this establishment, and this guy chose to bring his buddy out for a drink and say, look, I need to set you straight, man. Your lifestyle may not be so peachy keen in the next 6 months. So there's really a mass awakening out there. I see it, and I'm sure you see it, Daryl. So neat that a thing like Porkfest is going on. You all get to come and share information and share your perspective with everyone. Everyone can share your perspective with you. And I'll have to check out what's going on with the Boston Tea Party here, because I know a little bit about it.
And definitely check out Free Patriot Press. And all of the books are available from Amazon or wherever books are sold.
Very cool, and I bet we might have some of those around here, or I'm sure some of the activists around here have picked up a lot of your material, and we can get a recommendation or whatever from them. So I don't have a clock. I'm flying blind here, Daryl. So if you got something else you want to share, man, keep going.
No, I'm completely shared up, but I'll throw Ernie back on, and you guys can wrap it up.
Hey, great chatting with you, Daryl.
Thanks. Nice chatting with you as well, Drew.
All right, take care. And so we're here this morning, and we'll see if Ernie jumps on the line. But this is the Declare Your Independence show with Ernest Hancock, and I'm filling in for the morning. And we've got some great guests on the line from New Hampshire Pork Fest. We got Ernie there. Ernie, what's going on?
Oh, yeah, it's busy, man. You know, I'm just sitting here scrambling, making sure you're all filled up. Thanks for taking care of business. The it is really nice here. You know, it's cool. I know there. How hot is it there in Phoenix right now?
It's going to be 111 today, and it's probably that already.
You know, I bet we're 40 degrees cooler.
I'm sweating a little in the control room, man. It's a scorcher today.
Well, what we're doing is we've been dealing with the radio. We haven't even got to go and see all the events, but the campground is full. You have, and a lot of these people over the past few years of me traveling around the country with the Levolution and Libertarian Party stuff and speaking and such, you know, there's probably at least a third to half of the people I've met before. And they have all congregated here because they are the core of this revolution that's coming, and they're self-sustaining. They understand the concept of agorism, this getting off the grid, being able to trade and barter for goods and services. They understand the importance of firearm ownership and proficiency. They understand the power of personal relationships. They understand the non-aggression principle. There's nothing that needs to be explained to them about how people should interact with each other. It's just really a pleasant experience for anyone that has ever wanted to just go and be free and just be with people of the same mind. And that's why I was so excited to have my wife and especially my daughter come. She's 20 years old. She's met some of these people before. And she's enjoying herself, you know, playing producer and go around and scheduling people for the show and such. And she's just starting to see that these people are just like her family. And the mystique of this libertarian or living off grid or just want to be free thing is really just, you know, the way life should be. So it's a good experience here. I'm glad, you know, some of our friends that haven't been exposed that much came with us, and Renee is here. You know, Renee at the last minute, you know, got on the plane and came with us, so she is an activist there in Phoenix and having a good time, so they're all enjoying themselves, and I get to talk with Drew.
Well, what did you bring your firearm? You gonna go shooting, Ernie?
Absolutely. We had a private plane that we took. A friend of ours has one. So we loaded it up, man. And what reminded me to put on my sidearm was that you go around here. You know, of course, I just had it in the room. And you go around, everybody's got a sidearm on. So I'm like, yeah, I don't want to feel naked. So, you know, we get the sidearm. And here in New Hampshire, it's all, you know, live free or die and open carry. And, of course, having Pork Fest here on a regular basis at this same campground, you know, they're supportive of it, especially since they do so well financially, you know, having this event. Because this is a large campground. It's hundreds of spots and RV spots, and they have like a motel that's right on in the middle of the campground, and they have all these tents up and concerts and halls and speeches and rooms. It's really set up for exactly this type of event. I hope we can find something like this in Arizona so we can have a Freedom Summit at the summit up in the mountains or something. Because this is kind of how Mark and I originally envisioned that we wanted to do something for the summit, but we always wind up being at resorts. But if we can find a place just like this, we'd be all over it.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. And like I was saying, I read the whole itinerary and on the website for Pork Fest, and I thought, that's so much cooler than just a stuffy conference with speakers in a banquet room and that sort of traditional type conference thing. So that sounds like a lot of fun. And Maresco and John painted a nice picture of what the scenery looked like around you guys. But I hear the music. Maybe you do too, Ernie. So we'll come back here in a minute. And I think we got five more minutes of this show to do. So we'll be right back. Why don't you take us out, Ernie? Come on, declare your independence, man. Say it loud.
Declare your independence with Ernest Hancock and Drew Phillips. A little more in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
There will be. We're back. Last little five-minute segment here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. I'm hoping I still got Ernie on the phone line there. Ernie, we got you.
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Hey, man. So you tell me, man, what trouble are you going to get into? What do we got to do to bail you out? And what are you going to do when we do?
You know, I think this is kind of, you know, whenever we go to these events and so on, these are the guys that are always having to get bailed out, you know. But, it's 4:20 in the afternoon. Somebody's in jail for smoking dope somewhere in front of some courthouse or something. But,
no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. So here it's not, they're more here just to socialize with each other and get caught up and share information with each other. And they're just here to relax. This is the party. This is where you just come to take a much-earned break from all the activity. I got to tell you right now, you know, it's been cloudy and raining a little bit, but the clouds are starting to break, and just spots of sunshine on this beautiful green landscape. I can see why a lot of people want to come to New Hampshire. And I've been here in the winter, and that was kind of cool too, but I mean, wow, this is awesome. This is like a postcard. And, you know, one of the things I noticed when I was here in New Hampshire during the winter of 07, during the Ron Paul thing, when they had the New Hampshire primaries, we were here a week and a half before Christmas and New Year's and a week and a half after in a cabin doing a lot of campaigning. And the one thing that you notice is how spread out the population is. It's not really concentrated in cities and towns as much as you have a town that kind of services thousands of people that live, you know, no closer than a quarter mile to each other. So they just have the ability to this live free and die concept because they're not stacked on top of each other. They don't want to be. And one of the reasons is the way at the fundamental level the government here works. You have so many, I think it's like 500 or something representatives. It's just an enormous government, but they represent only a few thousand people each. So everybody knows, I mean, they don't know the name of their legislator. They know where he lives.
Well, that's always interesting to me, Aaron. I know we're all kind of hardcore anarchists anyway, but what do you say? Is that better? Is that more representative a republic to have more government to represent fewer amounts of people? I don't know.
I'm saying the concept of government being closer to the people has a definite benefit. They're still eking in, you know, using that mechanism the same way. You have a lot of people from Boston, Massachusetts that are fleeing government there, coming here just using the voting and government to reconstitute what they just left. I mean, we see that in Arizona coming from California and from Massachusetts. A lot of people from Massachusetts go to Arizona. So it's the same thing. It's an ever creep. It's a cultural thing. We have to attack this as a cultural war. We're competing with trillions of dollars over generations in mandatory youth indoctrination camps, otherwise known as government schools, and propaganda and the corporate media and everything, getting people conditioned to think a certain way. Well, here are the people that are breaking that conditioning, and that makes them a threat, but they're no direct violent opposition to the man, so they just really don't know what to do with them. Other than, I don't know, when they catch you, they want to put you in jail for a long time, but we're all about the love, man.
Well, we got a little bit of jealousy love for you out here, but we're glad you guys are having a fun time, and we're glad we got to hear a little bit and everybody got to share, so we'll come back tomorrow, and maybe you'll line up some more guests for us.
There's endless supply.
All right, well, we're looking forward to it on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. The music is playing. I'm out of here, and we'll find out what's in store tomorrow. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and thanks for everyone for calling in, and thanks for Ernie. We'll see you tomorrow.